The Unity of Surrender and Self-Inquiry by Professor K. Swaminathan. One of Ramana Maharishi's most frequent comments was that there were only two reliable methods for attaining self-realization. One could either pursue self-inquiry or one could surrender. An almost equally common statement was that jnana and bhakti are ultimately the same. This second statement is usually interpreted to mean that whichever of the two paths one chooses to follow, the ultimate goal and the culminating experience will be the same. It is generally assumed that the two paths do not converge until the moment of realization is reached. However, if Ramana Maharishi's teachings are correctly interpreted, then it will be seen that the paths of surrender and self-inquiry merge before realization, and that in the higher levels of practice, if one follows the path of surrender, then one's sadhana will be the same as that of someone who has chosen the path of self-inquiry. This may seem very radical at first sight, but this is only because of the general misconceptions that many people have about Ramana's teachings on the true nature, meaning, and practice of surrender. In order to eliminate these misconceptions and to clarify Ramana's attitude and approach to surrender, it will be helpful to examine some of these commonly held ideas in the light of Ramana's statements on the subject. Firstly, to show how unfounded most of these ideas are, and secondly, by eliminating them, to illustrate the profundity of Ramana's real teachings. The most convenient starting point for this inquiry is the relationship that exists between Ramana Maharishi, the Guru, and the thousands of people who call themselves his devotees. There is a long tradition in this country of people accepting certain teachers as their gurus and then proclaiming immediately that they have surrendered to them. In most cases, this surrender is only a statement of intent, or at best, there is a partial surrendering to this new authority figure in the hope of acquiring some material or spiritual reward. Ramana's opposition to this type of religious bribery was quite clear, and it is best summed up in the following statement. Surrender to him and abide by his will, whether he appears or vanishes. Await his pleasure. If you ask him to do as you please, it is not surrender, but command to him. You cannot have him obey you and yet think that you have surrendered. He knows what is best and when and how to do it. Leave everything to him. His is the burden. You no longer have any cares. All your cares are his. Such is surrender. This is bhakti. Talks, page 425. This statement, typical of many that he made, is a categorical refutation of the idea that one can surrender to one's God or Guru and yet demand that the God or Guru fulfills one's desire or solves one's problems. Despite this often repeated refutation, it is probably true to say that the majority of Ramana's devotees believe that they have surrendered to Ramana, yet at the same time would not hesitate to approach him with their personal and material problems, especially if the perceived need required an urgent solution. In Ramana's teachings on surrender, there is no room for stray desires and no room for expectations of miracles, no matter how desperate the situation might appear to be. Ramana says, if you have surrendered, you must be able to abide by the will of God and not make a grievance out of what may not please you. Talks, page 115. And Ramana's strict interpretation of absolute surrender, the only appeals which might qualify for approval are those where the devotee approaches the God or Guru with the attitude, this is your problem and not mine. Please attend to it in any way you see fit. This attitude bears the marks of partial surrender, for it fulfills the bare minimum requirements of Ramana's definition of true surrender. On this level of surrender, there is no longer any expectation of a particular solution. There is simply a willingness to accept whatever happens. It is interesting to note in this connection that although Ramana clearly stated that devotees who wanted their problems solved were not practicing true surrender, he did not admit that surrendering one's problems to God or to the Guru was a legitimate course of action for those who felt that they could not stick to his absolute teaching of complete surrender. He was once asked, is it proper that one prays to God when one is afflicted by worldly ills? And his answer was, undoubtedly. Talks, page 501. This admission that the Guru may be approached with personal problems should be seen as an extension of and not a contradiction of his teachings on absolute and unconditional surrender. To be continued.